Last couple times I spoke, we were talking about the fear of the Lord. And we talked first about the greatness of God, how awesome and powerful God is when you realize how big your Creator is compared to you, when you gaze upon the universe and just see how huge everything is and how insignificant we are before God. We asked the question, what is man that you are mindful of him? And we talked about God and the power of God, where Jesus said, hey, don't fear those who can destroy the body, but rather fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hellfire. And we talked about last week, or the last time I spoke, how the fear of God should drive out the fear of man, the improper fears, when you realize that it is God. But what God is wanting us to see is to realize the greatness of his authority and power, and he invites us to come in and experience life with him. When you realize how big God is, and then you realize he's inviting you and saying, hey, come be acquainted with me. Come have fellowship with me. Come know me. It's really an awesome consideration, isn't it? To think about what God is inviting us to do. To think about God saying, hey, I want to live with you forever. Now, do you appreciate how much God loves you? This all-powerful God, creator of the universe, the God who wrote the code of DNA in every living cell. Do you appreciate that he loves you? That he has your best interest at heart? That he cares about you? You see, the fear of the Lord is really a faith in that God and in his love for you. The fear of the Lord comes out in a faith and belief that God is the greater authority. Brad was speaking of this morning at the men's study, talking about faith. The difference between pride and faith. When someone doesn't have a fear of the Lord, it's because they're proud. They fail to recognize who God is and how powerful he is. They fail to recognize the maker of the universe and the great judgment that is coming. But when you humble yourself before God and you believe in him and you recognize who he is, and not just who he is, but that he is the rewarder, the promiser, that he is the faithful God, it transforms our hearts and minds into different creatures. This work of faith, this work of the fear of the Lord, of believing in God and his authority, and realizing what God would have us to do and how God would have us to be. And he speaks to us as children. Let's turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 2 today. As we continue on with this subject, the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord brings with it things that you would want. How many of you would like to be wise? Everybody should want to be wise. It goes without saying. How many of you would like true knowledge? Yes, of course. Now, what is it to be wise? It's a definition I like. I think it explains it well, and it's in a lot of Bibles. It says, wisdom is the art of living life skillfully. Wisdom is the art of living life skillfully. In other words, it's the taking of true knowledge, discernment, understanding, and justice, and knowing how to apply that in the way you live. So sometimes the Bible will say, answer a fool according to his folly. And then it says in the verse right next to it, answer not a fool according to his folly. They're both true, right? They're both knowledge. It's wisdom that lets you know when to answer a fool according to his folly or when to not answer a fool according to his folly. It's wisdom that makes the difference. God wants us to have an understanding of wisdom. Wisdom really is understanding life through the eyes of God. Now that makes it really cool. And God talks to us as children in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is a book of wisdom to those of you who desire wisdom, to those of you who desire, how do I live life skillfully? How do I walk through this world? It's all in the book of Proverbs. It teaches us how to do this. Now notice this in chapter 2 and verse 1. He begins, my son. my son. I want you to think about that, because when you read the Word of God, you should hear God speaking. You should hear God speaking to you as His child. And He's saying, my son, if you receive my words, do you hear God's voice? My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So, here's how it all happens. Do you hear it as a child? Do you hear God's voice through these words? God is speaking to us today, saying, here it is. First it begins, you've got to want it. You've got to desire it. Now, James says that if any of us lacks wisdom, we should ask, and God will give us wisdom. And he said, but ask in faith, believing that you will receive. Don't be double-minded. Don't be doubting. So when you read these words, put it in your mind. God is going to give me wisdom. God is going to make me wise. God is going to give me true knowledge. I need to open my ears to what He's going to say. That's how intimate and precious the relationship is. When we turn our attention to the Word of God, we should be seeing God, hearing God, as if we're sitting across a table, a coffee table with God in our living room, and God is saying, now, here it is, my son. Here it is, my child. I'm going to tell you exactly the way it is. Would you treasure that? This Bible is in so many homes in this country, sitting, gathering dust, not being read, not being sought after, but it is sitting down with the Lord every time we open it up in a spirit of faith and belief and asking for His Spirit to open our ears, to open our minds to understand. This is where the fear of the Lord is. It's saying, I don't get it, God, but I know You do. That is the fear of the Lord. I know You get it. I know You got it all. You see everything. And I want it. Parents, isn't this what you yearn for your children? To ask the good questions, to seek the right knowledge, to desire discernment, equity, justice, so that they walk on a straight path, so that they avoid the pitfalls of life? This is God's heart and desire. But so often we're like children who don't get it yet. How many of you parents, when you were younger, didn't think your parents had it together? There's three of us. Oh, okay, now the hands are going up. But how many of those people who raised their hand when you got older realized, hey, maybe my parents and adults were smarter than I thought? Yeah, my dad got a lot smarter the older I got. I didn't think he was that smart. He was. And my mom, way smarter than me. But I didn't realize it when I was younger. It took a while. It took a while to go through these stages of pride and understanding to gain a respect for my parents. And yet, here is God, the perfect parent, full of justice, love, consideration, goodness, kindness, everything right. And He's saying, hey, my son, here it is. Now notice this. He promises something. Verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord if you do this. And find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. Verse 8, He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of His saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you. Isn't there just such peace in that? To know that the way you're living is right, with wisdom, with understanding, with true knowledge, with discernment, with equity. This is what God offers in His Word. That He will give this. If you really want this, if you really want
He will show you. Now turn with me to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 111. Psalms chapter 111 and verse 10. Psalms 111 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding have all those who do His commandments. His praise shall endure forever. So, God is saying, now if you fear Me and you'll do what I say, you will grow in understanding. There is something so amazing about obeying God that once you start on the path, you'll gain an understanding that maybe you didn't have before. Again, this is so similar to the experience of life. Sometimes you know what you should do, and you think that you can escape the rule. You think that you don't have to follow a certain path that God has laid out, and you go your own way because that's what you want to do. And you realize through the experience, God was right. He was right. I shouldn't have done that. Why did I do that? Last night I was telling a story to my children. When I was younger and fresh out of college, I had a friend who needed to get some money from a bank. And the bank wouldn't loan him money on his own. It wasn't a good risk. So he came and asked me if I would sign a note, a personal guarantee. Now Proverbs 6 says, if you become surety for somebody else, if you co-signed in a note, get out. Right? Run! Run to the person, immediately beg to be released from this thing. Because you're in big trouble. Now, I was so young, I didn't know the rule. I didn't know the wisdom that God declared in His Word. I hadn't contemplated that verse in an application in my life. So, what did I do? Signed a personal guarantee at the bank. Now, I believe that my friend would be able to pay off the debt. And sure enough, the reason he got the money was to help him in a business, and the business took off. Sweet! Feeling better that I signed a personal guarantee. But the thing is, it's not just a matter of the person making money. They actually have to pay the debt off. If you don't know that when you sign the guarantee, they actually have to pay the bank back to make you whole on it. Well, I thought that was happening. Because I could see the money coming in. I could see the lifestyle going up. But the money wasn't going to the bank. And it turns out, when the bank sees that you're making money and your income starts to go up, you know what they do? They like to give you more money. And he started borrowing more money. And took out a note, and another note, and another note, and another note. And now the amount of the loan was over four times what it was to begin with. Now here's where I was foolish. I didn't realize that my signature with the first note carried over to all the others, because I signed a personal guarantee. When all this came about and the person's financial fortunes went down years later, guess who the bank came looking to fill the note? Me. It was me. It was us. Okay, advice for all you young people who are not married. Before you marry, make sure you know if your spouse has signed any surety for somebody else, and know their debts before you get married. There's great advice for you right there. She married into it. So, I was stuck. But the bank realized that I was in a bad position. So, I offered what I could. I offered based on the first note that I signed, and they accepted it. They let me out. But I'll tell you what, that was a long time of pain, emotional stress. I was the prey caught because I didn't know and I didn't apply. It was without seeking, but God said I did something. But He'd already given the wisdom. I just wasn't paying attention. I read those verses, but I just didn't get it and apply it to reality, to life. The thing is, the Proverbs are meant to be joined in. To realize this is it. So when he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, a good understanding have all those who do His commandments. You gain the insight of God by doing it. You become wise. You become knowledgeable. Turn with me to Psalm 119. understand the fear of the Lord, of what this is. Because what God wants you to fear and to avoid are evil things. That's why He says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. He wants you to get away from evil. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, because He knows it's going to lead you in the right paths. He wants you to go the right way. Every bit of instruction God gives us is to lead us in the right way. So notice this in Psalm 119 and verse 97. Psalm 119 and in verse 97. It says this, "Oh, how I love Your law." Why? Because God is revealing life to us. God's law as a means of salvation doesn't work because we sin and fall short. And we need the salvation of Jesus Christ. But God's law is a way of living. Wow. It's going to keep you, preserve you, bless you. "Oh, how I love Your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through Your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies." Do you believe that? "For they are ever with me." Verse 99. "I have more understanding than all my teachers." Why? Because I go to the source of all knowledge, truth. Today, the wise are becoming more and more foolish because they reject the basic fear of the Lord. They reject the knowledge of God. And they're becoming more and more foolish. And the way they live is becoming more and more foolish because they reject the authority of life, the Almighty God. But if you will accept His authority and accept His teaching, you will have more knowledge and more wisdom. God calls the weak, the base, the common of the world to the great riches of life. And in so doing, as it says in 1 Corinthians 1, He confounds the mighty. He confounds them. He shows the great strength of man is nothing to the weakness of God. In God's weakest moments, He is stronger, He's smarter, He's wiser than any man. He's awesome. So, verse 99, "So I have more understanding than all my teachers, for Your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than ancients or older people, because I keep Your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep Your word. I have not departed from Your judgments, for You Yourself have taught me. How sweet are Your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through Your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way." See how intimate that is? Those are words between a man who loves God. A man who, God said, he's a man after my own heart, David. This guy gets it. He wants what I have, and I want to give it to him. And I'm going to make him wiser and more understanding. Solomon, when he asked for wisdom, he got something that God so cherished that he would ask for wisdom instead of riches, honor, long life. But God said, "But because you ask for wisdom, I give it all to you." Because that is what it will produce in the end. It produces a greatness of life and a greatness of character. Now, my encouragement to you in this message is read the Proverbs. There's 31 chapters. Read a chapter a day, whatever day it is. If it's the 10th day, read the 10th chapter. Start a pattern of reading. And as you read through the chapter, pick out Proverbs that strike your heart, that strike your interest, that you can apply to your life. Then you say, wait, this is applicable to right now. This is the wisdom I need right now. How to apply this into what I'm doing and what I'm living. And the blessings are going to start to flow in your life. Because when we're in God's commandments, when we're in His ways, we are standing in a way of blessing. It's blessable work. It's blessable life. And God wants to bless you. He really wants to bring forth in you some great things. And we do this by obedience to His Word. Now, I want to start to look at a few verses in Proverbs today as kind of a sampler. How do we do this practically? So let's turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. And in verse 6. Proverbs 6 and in verse 6. Kellen. Thank you, Scott. And thank you, Greg, for getting this for me. It's very kind of you. Proverbs 6, and in verse 6, "Go to the ant, you sluggard, Who knows what a sluggard is? Jack! A lazy person. Or a slow sloth. Right? It's a creature that it moves so slowly, moss grows on it. You know, I mean, it's kind of disgusting when you think of it. Right? So, he says, go to the ant, you slugger. But when he's saying it to a person, he's basically saying, you who just sit around all the time, who aren't doing anything in life, go to the ant. Why? Consider her ways and be wise. Okay, this is your father speaking to you. Which, having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. Okay. Why go to the ant? Why does God want us to go to the ant? Jack. Huh? Because they're hardworking. Okay? So, Proverbs 6, verse 6, ants are hardworking. Right? We agree that's a lesson. What else do we learn from the ant? What does it tell us? Go to the ant, why? Anybody?
They don't have a big mouth.
They don't have a big mouth. No, that's not why. What does the Bible say? Why go to the ant?
Consider her ways and be wise.
Consider her ways. Okay, what are her ways?
They don't need somebody to tell them what to do.
They don't need somebody to tell them what to do. In other words, they make their own plan. So, they have no captain, overseer, or ruler. Nobody's telling them what to do. They have their own plan, right? Okay, so ants are hardworking. Ants plan. Now, what does the Bible say? Why? How do they plan? What is the plan that God shows us here to gain wisdom from?
They gather
when they can. Right. They gather when they can. Okay? Anybody else? Okay? When you read the Proverbs, you've got to stop yourself and ask questions. You can't just read it like you're reading a novel or reading something. The words in Proverbs are meant to be stopped, thought about, meditated on. Okay? You can't just read through them. So you might read through a chapter to find what you want, but then you've got to stop and kind of plant yourself for a little bit. Okay, so God is saying, okay, go to the ant. Okay, why do I go to the ant? Because if I consider her ways, I'm going to learn wisdom. Okay, what is the wisdom? Ants have no captain, overseer, or ruler. Okay, so the ants just do what they do. They're doing what they do. And having no captain, overseer, or ruler provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. What do the ants seem to know is coming?
No food.
Winter, no food. Right? So there's a time when there's no food. So the ants know that life isn't always a summer. Do you get that? Sometimes people start to live like life's a summer. How about like most of the people in the society we live in, thought summer would never end? Back in the late 90s, everybody was talking about, we're in a new economy. Market's going up, right? It will never end. It's just going to keep going up forever. Summer is here forever. And what did everybody find out in the year 2000? Wrong answer. Ooh, the market went way down. Right? 2000, 2001, 2002, market boom, boom, boom. What about the housing market? We got to get in on the housing market, right? Back in 2003 and 4 and 5, housing market's going up. Summer's going to last forever. You got to get in on this game because it just keeps going up. 2005, 2006 comes along. Uh-oh. What happened? Summer's done. Ooh. Not a good time to be selling now. Ooh. Keeps going down. Ooh. Right? But if you think life's always going to be the summer, You're missing the point that it's not always going to be good. Winter's coming. So what does God say? Okay. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of hands to sleep. Your poverty will come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. What makes the ant so cool is that the ant is hardworking, has a plan, we could add, doesn't need to be told what to do, gathers when possible, and realizes winter's coming. That seems like real simple life, doesn't it? When things are good, they're not always going to be good. When things are bad, realizing bad doesn't last forever either, because spring and summer are coming around the corner again. There are seasons. Can you allow yourself to see there are seasons in life? That there are times when you need to be gathering. When things are going well and you have cash coming your way, don't live as if it's always going to be that way. That's the time to set aside. The wisdom of the ant says, when summer's here, we don't eat it all, guys. We're storing it away. Because winter's coming. Now, how many of you in your working career have had times when you're making more money and times when you're making less money? A lot of you. Okay. So, what would be the wisdom then that we could apply to living life skillfully? Anybody?
When you're making more, put some away for the times that come when you're making less.
That is so wise. And that is my wife. So when you have more coming in, put more away. Don't act as if that's always going to be that way. If it turns out to always be that way for you in your work career, great. Well, you'll just always have a little stockpile just in case something happens that you can't see coming down the road. But you've got something to live on. You've got to put away for those times. Now, what winter does everybody in this room eventually face? If you live long, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, are you going to be able to gather as much as you did in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s? Probably not. Retirement, older age, you might not be as capable of providing for yourself or your family. Right? If you do hard work, you know, when you're a younger person might be easy, but when you get older, you might not be able to do it anymore. So, you know winter's coming. Don't go through the proverb and miss the lesson. God's given us nuggets of gold and in knowledge here that are amazing. So, plan because you realize winter's coming. Okay. So, we've got this one down. We've got this proverb. Anybody else have any points about Proverbs 6? Okay. Don't sleep. Don't sleep. That's a good one. Don't sleep. Now, with that in mind, let's turn to this next verse. Proverbs 13 and verse 4. Proverbs 13 and verse 4. Proverbs 13 and verse 4 says, "The soul of the lazy man desires and has nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall be made rich." The sluggard sits around saying, "Man, if only I had. But if I could just, you know, have something for the winter that's coming, that'd be so nice." Falls back to sleep. You see, the application is don't sleep. The diligent, Proverbs 13, verse 4, the soul of the diligent, those who are thinking about how do I now apply this knowledge to my life, they're the ones who will become rich. Right? How must I do this? Can you take a break from this and just say, well, it doesn't apply to me. Well, I don't need to do this. It's not the way I should go. Can you sleep on this job? God says if you sleep on the job, what happens? Notice back in Proverbs 6 again. He says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, poverty will come on you like a prowler. And your need is going to come on you like an armed man. In other words, if you want to sleep, you can. God will let you do it. But now you're going to have times of need. You're going to have times of poverty. Because you're unwilling to follow wisdom. You see, God is an awesome God. He gives us the nuggets of the gospel, of hope and belief. He gives us prophecy of future events. He gives us doctrine of teaching and so that we know what He's working out theologically. He gives us principles of Christian living so that we can know about marriage and training our children. And He gives us wisdom for everyday life. God does it all in this book. This awesome book telling us as His children, here's the way to go. Here's the way to live. But if you read it and then go back to sleep, is it going to help you? Wisdom is the application of knowledge, truth, and understanding into your everyday life. My friends, doing this, if we're talking about physical need, financial need, it is teaching you something so much bigger you will only discover by doing. You will only discover it by doing. Stuff goes away. Things go away. Possessions go away. But there are things that will last forever that God teaches. This is wisdom, the application of wisdom in this avenue. Now think about that. Proverbs 13:4. Proverbs 13, verse 4. So the soul of the lazy man desires and has nothing. You can desire to want to live wisely. You can desire to want to do the right things. But only the diligent, those who are awake and alert to apply it, actually get the benefits of it. All right? So that's point number two. Let's turn to scripture number three, Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19. And verse 17, Proverbs 19 and verse 17. He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he that is God will pay back what he has given. Okay? Wisdom. He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord. So when you give of your stuff, the stuff that you have when you've gathered in, when you give to others, God says, you're giving it to me. So I see you're storing up stuff because that's wisdom. But now if you take some of your stuff and you give it to help the poor, God says, it's like you gave it to me. Now, let's apply this with Proverbs 11, verse 24. Proverbs 11 and verse 24. Proverbs 11 and verse 24 through 25. Proverbs 11 verse 24 through 25. There's a person who scatters, yet increases more. And there's one who withholds more than is right. And that leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich. And he who waters will also be watered himself. So, what is it that God would have us do? What is God teaching us in these verses? Anybody? Just think. Give. Give. Why? Why give? Because you're giving to the Lord. God says that when you give to the poor, it's as if you're lending to God, and God says, I'm going to pay you back. There's a relationship here between you and God that takes place when you give to the poor. So often we look at the poor and say, they're not worthy. That's the point. That's why it's good for you to give to them. Because who is it that has given the most to the unworthy people? Has anybody outdone God in this? No! You mean to tell me that the wisdom of God is to take of His riches and give to the poor? Wow. Do the poor deserve it? How many of you deserved for God to give you grace? How many of you of your own work and ability gained salvation? But we're just talking about money here, right? Are we? Give to others is giving to the Lord. Generous. Show mercy. Now, we've been talking physically here about money. But I want you to ask yourself, are we really talking about money? What are we really talking about here? Let's add one more verse to it. Turn with me over to Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21 and verse 17. Proverbs 21 and verse 17. Proverbs 21 and verse 17. He who loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich. Okay? I'll just say it like this. How do I phrase this? Proverbs 21:17. Lovers of pleasure. Become poor. Lovers of pleasure become poor. Lovers of wine, and oh, they're never going to be rich. Now, when you think about the way you have your money, God says, here's how to be physically rich. Have a mindset that you're going to work hard and you're not going to be asleep anymore. Have a mindset that you're going to make a plan and you don't need a master, overseer, or a ruler, but you're going to do the things that allow you to gather in harvest time so that you'll have for the winters that are going to come. You need to do this. This is part of your financial planning. You have to do it this way. You have to be hardworking. You have to gather. You have to store up. You've got to be diligent. Don't take a break from the way that you manage your finances and the way that you budget yourself. You need to have a way of living that is within your means. If God is blessing you with the harvest, whatever the harvest is, that's what you get to work with. Because that's the blessing of the Lord. Don't spend more than what He gives. Give to others, to the Lord. Some people are so busy gathering up their money for themselves, they forget to give to God, who's giving them the money in the first place. Who provides the increase in the harvest? It's God. Whenever I see somebody tight with their money, they're a person who doesn't understand that letting the money flow out is letting it flow back to God. Who are they really stealing from? It's God. You know, I know some brilliant people who don't let go of their money. They don't let the dollars flow back to poor. I think they don't get as much as they could. Do you know why? Because God says, there's one who scatters and increases more. There's one who holds back. They grow less and less. Because it violates the law of God. God says, give and it will come back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Don't be greedy for what God blesses you with. It's God who's the one who's giving. When God gives, let it flow. Let the blessings flow. It comes from your heart. It's a relationship with your heart. Do you want to be blessed financially? Then don't hold on so tight to the dollars. Let the dollars flow out. Giving to the poor, showing mercy. And lovers of pleasures will be poor. If you're making $100 a week and you have delights of pleasure and you take all $100 and you spend all $100 on things that you want, you're going to be unable to gather anything for the winter. If you're spending every dollar you make, you're living in an unwise way. It's, life doesn't work that way. It's not meant to work that way. You have to then look at what your expenses are, how you're reducing it. But here's what God says. It doesn't matter if you're making $100 a week or $10,000 a week. If you love pleasure, wine and oil, there'll be always something to buy, always something to spend on, always something to do. I know this. I've seen this firsthand. I've seen people go from making $20,000 a year to making $500,000 a year and having nothing to show for it. They just ended up with more debt. It's crazy. Because there wasn't somebody overseeing them, not themselves. They weren't following a plan. They weren't being diligent. But the thing is this. We're talking about money. We're talking about finances. We're talking about budgeting in a way. Principles that are true and wise. But what about spiritually? What about your relationship with God? Let me ask you this. Are tribulations going to happen in your life?
Yes.
So when things are going well, what should you be doing? Laying up for the times that come. Remember the virgins, how they all slept? Some had oil, though. Some had prepared, and some didn't. If you're not praying and studying this Word and living by this Word and developing your relationship with God and serving others, and the tribulations come in your life, how are you going to be prepared to deal with it? Because you'll realize, I haven't been growing closer to God at all. I'm not prepared. I drifted into the cares of this world. You see, if you're diligent and making a plan to spend time with God now, when the trials come, and they will come, you'll have something stored up. You'll have bank with God. You'll have a relationship with God that will see you through. Your friend has trouble. They have problems and they come to you and you're not walking with the Lord and you're not walking in a way that's strengthening your relationship with God. What will you have to offer them? Right? It's the plans of the diligent to draw close to God. And when you give to them and give them encouragement and you strengthen somebody who comes to you in spiritual poverty, who are you really giving back to? It's God. When somebody comes and they have such a need because they are in spiritual poverty, when they're poor and they need help, you are the instrument of God's mercy. You are the one to give them the gospel. You are the one to pick them up. You are the one. You see, the giving of money is an exercise to the poor to train your heart that when somebody comes with such desperate need, you've got something to give. But you've only got it if you've been considering the wisdom of God like the ant, and you're working and storing up, and you're drawing close in your relationship with God, and you're living by faith, and you're living by belief to give to them of the wealth, the riches of Jesus Christ in your life for them to become wealthy, for them to have mercy. It's you. You are the one. And God says, hey, as you get it, give it. As you receive understanding, give it. Let it go. Because if you're willing to take of what I teach you through my Word and share it for the good of others, to encourage them, help them, edify them, then I'm going to make sure that you increase even more. Let it go. But God says, but if you love pleasure, if you love the things of the world, you're just going to end up right back in poverty. You see, these things were about provision, physically. But these proverbs about provision mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, they're about everything. God wants us to learn wisdom. His wisdom is applicable to all life. His wisdom is applicable in the way we live. You know, if you're not reading books, if you're not gaining knowledge, you don't have a lot to offer. But if you're reading and studying and developing your mind and developing yourself, then you have stuff to offer when needs arise. This is the spiritual principle that Paul talked about in Ephesians 4:28. Let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him work with his hands, that he may have something good for himself and to share with others. It's a principle of wisdom. Through all these practices of these five Proverbs that we've read today, you will learn the rules, the wisdom, the understanding, the knowledge of God of how life works best for His children and His plans. God wants you to be wise. So I'm challenging you, spend time in these Proverbs. You want to know how to have money? It's in the Proverbs. You want to know how to raise your children? It's in the Proverbs. Want to know how to have good relationships? It's in the Proverbs. Proverbs give nuggets of life, nuggets of wisdom, nuggets of what's right. So make time for the Proverbs. Make time for study. Make a plan for yourself. And most of all, friends, be your captain. Be your overseer. Because you have a Lord who encourages you to do these things, Jesus Christ. Make time for Him.